I believe most of us know that first verse. It starts like this. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Good, praise God, he arose. Brother Mark. You want to turn that on?
I'm going to have to actually look here to see how to do it.
Is it just hold it for a little bit?
There we go.
Hey, I'm really disappointed. I didn't get no Easter eggs in you.
Ah, there we go. All right.
I'm sorry.
Well, how's everybody doing? Happy Easter. Thank you. Thank you for being here. It was pointed out to me last night. I'm looking. Is Mike Nash here? Mr. Nash? I missed Mr. Nash's birthday because I did not have the birthday list back in January. So I was going to wish Mr. Nash a belated happy birthday. I also don't have the birthday list for April, so if you have a birthday this week and you're honest about it, raise your hand and we'll wish you a happy birthday. And I don't expect to see any hands, but let's see. I'm going to throw it out there. Yes, we have an honest individual in the back. Yes, happy birthday. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? We've had one. All right.
Going once.
It was also noted to me this morning that there are some items on our prayer sheet that's in the back that you got when you came in this morning that are a little out of date. So please take a look at the prayer sheet. If you have something that needs to be changed, note it on here. Just say remove or change or whatever it is. Okay, so just make sure we keep it up to date. Let me read you just a couple of new things we have. Bob Smith is in the hospital, I believe, now, and probably going to get a pacemaker, or at least looking at that and hoping that'll fix the problem. So if that happens, that'll be tomorrow, I believe. Is that correct? So
he's in the hospital, but they need prayers. They've got to get his kidneys working correctly before they can do this.
Before they can implant the pacemaker, correct? Yes. Okay. All right. So that will be tomorrow if it happens, though. Is that right? We think
one day this week.
Okay, all right. And then let's see. Is it? We have a surgery coming up. Is it Angelina? Is that right? Russ? Yes. Surgery coming soon. Soon. All right. So we have two surgeries coming up this week, right? If there's any other additions or changes or deletions, whatever, just make sure we put them on the list. We'll keep it current. Yes.
I'd like to request prayer for Steve Alcorn. He's in the hospital last week with double pneumonia.
Okay.
He's doing well, but likes spray. And of course, he still has a lot of congestion. And also Friday, I'm going to have a upper GI surgery at Duke.
Right, so that's our third surgery this week in our class. Make sure you put it on here at the end of class. I'll walk that back there and just make sure we get that on here, okay? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and open up, and then we'll move along. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day that you gave us. Thank you for the time of Easter. Thank you for what it means to us. And thank you for putting those stories in the Bible for us, and thank you for giving us the scriptures that explains it. And even though we may never fully understand it, at least we can read it, we can appreciate it, we can indulge ourselves in it, and we can give you thanks and give you praise that you died for our sins, You were buried and you rose again, and that's the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. So thank you so much for the gospel. Thank you for making that available to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for our class here today. And I pray for Brother Dan as he opens up the Bible here in just a few minutes and we dig into it, and give us a new love for you, a new appreciation for you, a new insight into what you did for us. May we learn something maybe we did not know before. If we knew everything that we're going to cover, may it be strengthened and reinforced in our lives. May it help us to walk closer with you and draw closer to you. There may be someone here who's discouraged, despondent, maybe even depressed. Encourage that one today. Maybe someone here who has a big decision to make and needs guidance. Provide guidance for that one. Maybe somebody here has a real need. Could be a physical need, a financial need, a relational need, work need. Could be anything like that. Help us to understand how much that you care about us, how much that you love us, and that you want us to take time each day to carve out and to be with you, to let you know what's on our hearts and on our minds, and just to converse with you, to read your word, let you speak to us, and then to pray that we speak to you, Lord. Just help us to draw close to you and bless our time here together today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to, Brother Dan has a lot of ground to cover, so we're going to skip the nugget at my insistence this morning. And do y'all remember when Paul was preaching real long that one time? Y'all remember what happened? So let's make sure nobody falls out the window and breaks their neck, unless you can perform the miracle.
Thank you, Brother Mark. He was gracious and kind this morning.
Everyone, several are back this morning. They've been gone for several weeks because of illness, and it's good to see you. It's good to see Mrs. Horn. She had bronchitis. Thank the Lord. She doesn't have it anymore. She's over it, but it's good to see her back. And keep her in prayer as she recovers. Also, we have Teresa Payne. Where are you, Teresa? I thought, there you are. We're praying for her mom. And she has lots of decisions that she has to make in dealing with an ailing parent. And so let's pray for her in that. And there's others that we think of. And it's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to have those that are here in honor of a special day. Margaret Tipton, where is she at? There she is. All right. It's good to see her this morning. She's recovering from a big surgery, although it didn't seem to take that long, did it, for all that they did. And she had an aneurysm on the back part of her head there in her brain. And they took that out and did some repair work. We're praying for Summer, who is recovering from COVID and also malaria. She's here in town. She's at the hospital. And so pray for her. So good to have those that are visiting. I saw a baby a little earlier, a brand new seven-week-old. And remind me of his first name again.
Dean.
Dean is visiting, and he's sitting by Grandpa. And Grandpa's just as proud as a peacock. Great-grandpa over here. Just as proud as a peacock. And that's all right. We allow that. I have my grandbaby here this morning, Cooper is sitting here by Carmen, and Cooper had a hard time falling asleep last night, bless his heart. There was so much action going on, and he wanted in on it, and he had nothing to do with his normal routine. He didn't want anything to do with it, so it took him a while. Matt and Abby are here. Anthony and Jana, my son Anthony, his wife Jana, are here, so we're excited to see all the guests this morning, and if you're here visiting with us, it is so good to have you. It's so good to be here this morning for Resurrection Sunday. You've heard this before, but the salutation in those days after the resurrection was, "He is risen," to which a person would respond, "He is risen indeed." And that is, in fact, the case. Were it not for the fact that he rose, you and I would be up a creek without a paddle. I believe that's a proper expression for East Tennessee, and that is in fact the case. This morning I would like to take a pause from our normal study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and we are going to, with God's help, and we're going to look at the 10 appearances of Christ after the resurrection, before he ascended up into heaven, which is, and then we're waiting for him to return, okay? So there were 10 appearances of Christ. I have some sheets handy. I've got 50 of them, and they, if you want it, one of those sheets that has those 10 appearances on there and then some room to scribble, all you need to do is raise your hand. Brian back there is doing a great job in helping us out. You can request one of those sheets. He'll bring them to you, and we'll get right into it. Early on Sunday morning, Jesus, and this is very important, is physically resurrected from the dead. It was not just a mere spiritual resurrection. Jesus Christ came out of the grave, literally, physically, bodily, out of the grave. Amen? There's a great earthquake in Matthew 28 and verse 2. And then an angel of the Lord descends from heaven. His appearance is as lightning. His raiment is as snow. He rolls away the stone and then he sits on it. This was not just to let Jesus out. Jesus did not need the stone to be rolled away to get out. You know why it was rolled away? So that we could see in. This was to let others in. The guards tremble and they become as dead men. They finally flee in terror, Matthew 28, 4. Thus the very soldiers who were ordered to prevent the resurrection were the first ones to witness the resurrection. Sadly, these first witnesses still did not believe. They accept bribe money to say that the disciples stole the body while they were sleeping. This is absolute proof that seeing is not believing. Right? Seeing isn't necessarily believing. Unbelief, not a problem of the head, but of the heart. Amen? So you have an Old Testament prophecy fulfillment that he would be raised from the dead. It occurs here. That prophecy is in Psalm. And then Mary Magdalene arrives at the garden to aid in a pre-planned anointing of his body. She sees that the stone has been removed in John chapter 20 and verse 1. Something very important to understand about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all talk about the same time period. Some of them aren't as specific as others. And then some of the Gospels include certain details that the other Gospel does not. And so once I understood this, this helped me understand all what transpired in the Gospels and what transpired when Christ was on the earth. And so keep that in mind as you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You say, well, this is a little confusing. It's because it is. It's not necessarily in chronological order, okay? So she runs and reports this to Peter and John in John chapter 20 and verse 2. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. So then Peter and John run to the garden. Luke 24, 12 talks about that. So does John chapter 20 and verse 3 through 10. John outruns Peter. Don't ask me why that's in the Bible. I think it's kind of comical that one outruns the other. I'll never forget that time when we heard Anthony scream one time. It was in the front of the house. Carmen and I were both in the back of the house. Guess who beat me there? Mama. And what had happened is One half of a wooden gate, heavy cedar wood gate, one half of it, the hinges had rotted and had fallen over on Anthony. Luckily, there were slats in it, and his head went right up through the slats when it fell over. But he was pinned underneath, and he let out a yelp, and mamas know when a yelp is one that needs help. And she passed me in the hallway of the house as we were headed to the front. And then I watched something that to this day still reminds me, and there's a respect for my wife. She took that gate, picked it up, and threw it off to the side. I tried moving it afterwards. I could not. My brother had to help me. When mama's going after baby, look out. Look out. So, respect, Carmen. I'm telling you, this is, she outran me, just like John outruns Peter. He arrives first, but he does not enter. He stands outside, looks into the tomb where he sees the linen clothes, John 20, verse 3. Peter arrives and boldly enters the sepulcher where he sees the head napkin folded and separate from the linen clothes which lie undisturbed. We find that in John chapter 20. Many believe that this burial shroud of Jesus still exists today, the Shroud of Turin. You've heard mention of that. If this is true, it gives us an exciting picture of what took place that resurrection morning. The body somehow disappeared from within the shroud without even disturbing or tearing any of the clotted bloodstains where the cloth touched the wounds. Even more exciting would be the fact that the image on the shroud is a three-dimensional reverse negative image, which was apparently created by a heat scorch from a brilliant light which shot out from the body in every direction. Only God. So that brings us to that first resurrection appearance in John chapter 20 and verse 11. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 20, just so that we know where we're at here. It should be noted that it's impossible to be dogmatic about the exact order of all of the post-resurrection appearances. So we won't argue that, but people that are smarter about the Bible than I am believe that what I'm going to show you is the order that this took place in. The first resurrection appearance being Mary Magdalene, who returns to the garden alone. Weeping, in verse 11, she looks into the sepulcher and sees two angels. The angels say this, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And Mary says, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." She then turns and she sees Jesus, but mistakes him for the gardener in verse 14. Jesus then says, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And Mary says, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." I love these disciples and these believers that show up. And they're like, hey, they're not afraid of anything. She's talking to, she believes, an angel. And she's like, listen, I don't care where you've put him. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of powers you have. If you've taken him, stop monkeying with me and let him have him. Let me have him. And I love this. I love this. And I'll take him away. And Jesus says, he just says one word. He says her name. Mary. I would love for Jesus to be able to mention my name. And I would recognize him. Like that. I would love to be so in tune with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that if He were to verbally, vocally mention my name, I would know who it is. Mary, and she immediately responds, Rabboni, which means master or dear teacher. He says, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto the Father. So she runs and she tells the disciples that she had seen Jesus. But guess what? They didn't believe her. You know, it's interesting that the soldiers, the unbelieving soldiers, they believed what Christ said was going to happen. How do I know that? They sealed the tomb. They posted guards there. They believed that what he said was true. And the believers were having trouble. I'm not going to point fingers because I've found myself sometimes in that position where I've had a hard time believing that what God said he was going to fulfill in my life. And you and I have had times in our lives, and we will continue to have times in our lives. Some of you are living through times right now where you look ahead and it doesn't look good. But God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And we have an illustration here of what he said would be true, is in fact truth. So then we come to the second resurrection appearance in Matthew 28, verse 5 through 15. You'll find a companion chapter in Mark 16, verses 2 through 8, and also Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 11. The women who stood by him at the cross, they arrive at the garden with spices and ointments to complete his burial. And they wonder, who shall roll away the stone? But they discover that the stone was rolled away. They enter the sepulchre and are greeted again by two angels, who said, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Why seek ye the living among the dead? I love that statement. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Behold the place where they laid him. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. But go your way quickly and tell his disciples and Peter. Isn't that nice that God would specifically say, and make sure you tell Peter too. That was very tender for Peter, that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Christ was already on the move. There ye shall see him as he said unto you, lo, I have told you. Jesus appears to the women as they return home with fear and joy. He says, all hail, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And at that moment, Mark 28, verses 8 through 10 says that they fall at his feet in worship. It also says that in Mark chapter 16 and verse 8. Then with the Roman guards at this time, in what all is going on, they report the resurrection to the chief priests. The Jewish leaders bribe the guards to lie and report that the disciples stole the body while they were sleeping. Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. This stolen body theory is we find also in Jewish writings. Many times it's difficult when you're speaking to somebody that's an unbeliever who may not have been around the Bible, who may not have been around or even know who God is. They'll say, well, that book is a religious book that you've used in your church, in your religion. Why should I believe that? We know the Bible says things, right? But also history proves the very same things that the Bible is saying. And you've got some great older historian writers. And if you look at their manuscripts, they back up what Scripture says to the T. It's amazing. So then we won't get into all that about the theory of the stolen body and all that. But then we come to that third resurrection appearance. Jesus joins two of his followers, Cleopas and another person whose name is not mentioned, on the road to Emmaus, but is recognized by neither one in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 24. He asks them what they were discussing and why they were so sad in 13 through 17. And they ask him, where has he been to have not heard of the tremendous events which have taken place? That there was a prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, who had been mighty in word and deed, verses 18 and 19. That he had been condemned and crucified by their own rulers, in verse 20. That their personal hopes for Israel's redemption are now shattered. And they say in verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. That his body, they told him, was discovered missing, and that there were unfounded rumors of his resurrection. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25 says that Jesus rebukes them for their unbelief. And he expounds the Old Testament, messianic passages to them, beginning with Moses. Cleopas then invites Jesus to lodge with them for the night. And they recognize Jesus as he takes and blesses the bread at the supper table. He suddenly vanishes from their sight in verse 32 of Luke chapter 24. And they say, did not our hearts or our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scripture? So then they return to Jerusalem and they tell the disciples that Jesus had walked and talked with them. So if you've noticed, we're on the third appearance already. And how many times have folks gone back to the disciples to tell them, hey, we saw the risen Savior. And they learn that Christ also had appeared unto Peter, because the fourth resurrected appearance is where Jesus appears to Simon Peter in Luke chapter 24 and verse 34. What a meeting that must have been. The last time that Peter had seen Christ was when he was cursing his Lord. And Christ takes the time to show up post-resurrection, one of the 10 appearances before he ascends to heaven, and he makes it a point to go see Peter. You know that Christ does that with you and I as well? How many times when we have found ourselves in a posture of disobedience before our Lord, and yet Christ still makes a point to come to you and I, and he says, man, I'd love to repair things. I'd love to get things back to where they were. He does that with you and I as well. Sometimes when we deserve a chastening, he'll bless us instead. And that means so much. That is the God that we serve. That is the Christ who loved you and I so much that he came and laid down on the cross and gave his life voluntary. That Christ wants a relationship with you and I. Wonderful. Then you have the fifth resurrection appearance, and I'm moving along, where you find Jesus walks through the locked doors and he appears to 10 of his disciples late Sunday night. You say, Brother Dan, I thought there were 12 disciples. Judas was dead, and Thomas was what? He was AWOL. He didn't believe. That's in Luke chapter 24, verse 36. Also, you'll find that companion scripture in John chapter 20 and verse 19. So Jesus suddenly appears in their midst and says, peace be with you. You say, why did he say peace be with you? Because if you'd have seen somebody just show up out of nowhere, you would have had to calm the crowd down too. And that's what he had to do. The disciples are terrified. And they assume that they've seen a spirit or a ghost, Luke 24 and verse 37 says. We'll read that real quick. Verse 37 says, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Jesus responds in 38, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He seeth our hearts, does he not? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And there's a whole nother study that we can get into there. There are those that believe that God was just... They state that God is a spirit, and that a spirit that, you know, they get all confused up in there, but we won't get into that. I don't have time to get into all that, but I'll just throw that out there, that he specifically states every word to the disciples for a reason. And that reason is to prove what is actually fact. You have the, and I don't know if you knew this, but between here and the end, you've got one of five giving of great commissions. In John chapter 20, verse 21, he imparts peace to his disciples, and then he sends them out as his Father sent him. Remember that verse that says, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you? That happens in this appearance here. And he breathes on them and he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, which was a temporary imparting of special knowledge and power until Pentecost. It's beautiful what happens here. And he breathes on them again. And then he commissions them to carry out a mission of bringing the forgiveness of sin through the preaching of gospel in John chapter 20, verse 23. Wow. It is at this time, we heard reference last week, and when Dr. Pope, when he preached about Christ carrying the blood, his blood, and fulfilling the blood covenant, it is at this time that this takes place, right in between all these appearances. And then you have the sixth resurrection appearance. Thomas cannot believe the excited report of the other disciples. He says in John 20, verse 24, he says, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. To Thomas I say, be careful what you ask for. The following Sunday, Jesus again walks through locked doors and appears to the disciples again, this time including Thomas, in John 20, verse 26. The Savior says, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. He used Thomas's very words right back at you. And he said, all right, you wanted it, do it. The doubter, Thomas, he responds with these words, my Lord and my God. Verse 28 of John 20. This is one of the greatest statements of Christ's deity in Scripture. And the Savior responds, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. That brings us to the seventh resurrection appearance, where you see Peter and six other disciples have spent an unsuccessful night fishing. Peter had been mulling that over in his brain. He cursed God. Then his Lord was crucified. Then his Lord appears to him. And then he let it get to him. And he let the guilt chew up on him. And we do the same. And he's mulling over what he did. And it was almost in John, that last two chapters, it's almost as if he is saying, you know, this disciple, I'm just not a good disciple. I stink at being a disciple. I'm going fishing. Because they were told by Christ at that time, we know, that they were told by Christ to wait for Christ at a certain mountain. And because of him being a leader that he was, everybody said, well, we're going fishing with you. And the seventh resurrection appearance happens to Peter and six other disciples who had spent all night fishing in John 21, verses 1 through 3. You have a miracle takes place, catching a great number of fish. Jesus cooks breakfast for the seven disciples, and he invites them, come and dine. We sing that song, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Then Peter is closely questioned concerning his affection for Christ. And then he desires to know the destiny reserved for John at the end of that chapter. That brings us to the eighth resurrection appearance. Jesus is worshipped on the mountain by the 11, Matthew 28. This is where we find the Great Commission as well, that we all always refer to. In spite of some remaining, the Bible says in verse 16 and 17, I don't know if you've noticed that before, but it said that even at that time, even after all these appearances, even after all these people that are coming to the disciples and they're saying, hey, we saw the resurrected Christ, there's still some that are having a hard time believing. He gives the second time the Great Commission in verses 18 through 20. And then you find the ninth resurrection appearance, where Jesus in Mark chapter 16 and verse 14, he gently rebukes the disciples for their initial unbelief concerning his resurrection. And then he, for the third time, and I don't know if you're catching this, this is post-resurrection. Jesus Christ felt it so important that five times he gives the Great Commission before he ascends unto heaven. And if there is anything on the planet that you and I, as a believer, should be occupied in, it is that Great Commission. I call it the Great Mission. And the Great Mission is letting others know of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He gives it for the third time in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 through 18. And then again in Luke chapter 24, when you look at the time frame there, in Luke 24, 47 and 48, he again, for the fourth time, he gives the Great Commission to them when he says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things, he tells them. And then Jesus tells the disciples to tarry or to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, the coming of the Spirit, and the endowment with power from on high. And then we come to that last resurrection appearance, the 10th resurrection appearance, where in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5, Jesus blesses the disciples and he promises the baptism of the Spirit. He answers their questions, verse 6 and 7, about the time of his return and his kingdom. In verse 8 of Acts, you find the fifth time that he gives the Great Commission. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When he uses the word both, he means you're to do it here in Jerusalem and then also everywhere else at the same time. That's why we have a missions program. That's why we do it here and we do it around the world. Jesus is received up into glory in Mark 16, 19 to 20. You also see that referenced in Luke 24, 50 through 53, and to the right hand of the Father. And then the Old Testament prophecy is fulfilled from Psalm 24 that he would ascend. And that is the 10 appearances of Christ right after the resurrection. And we somehow got it done. Thanks to Brother Mark, who gave me his time. I appreciate that. And isn't that interesting that Christ would see fit to, and the different appearances to the different people and the way that he did. And to me, what means a lot is those five times in that period of time where he says, hey, you've got to tell others. You've got to tell others. You got to tell others. And he keeps repeating that. May we be about the Father's business. Heavenly Father, thank you for resurrection. Thank you that what you said, you did. And you will continue to do. Thank you for being a personal Savior. And Lord, I pray if there's someone in this room this morning that as of yet, they've never asked you to be their personal Savior. They've never invited you into their heart to be their Savior. Lord, I pray that before the day ends here, as they go into the auditorium in just a few moments, as they hear some songs that talk about the resurrection, and as they listen to the message from the Word of God, when that message is done, Lord, I pray that they would invite you into their heart and that they would receive that free gift of eternal life. Thank you for being God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you in just a few moments.